Today, our study is based on a reading by Claude Duval Cole that focuses on the different aspects of God's will. He addresses the distinction between God's will of purpose and God's will of command. To get a better understanding of this issue, we invite you to join with us for today's study. But first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation, How Great Thou Art, by Elizabeth Casper.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
To take
Our study today comes from an article titled Definitions of Doctrines by Claude Duval Cole. This article begins with a quote from the Old Testament book of Job, the 22nd chapter, and verse 21. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The will of God. In all intelligent beings there is a will. Men and angels and God have wills. In men, the will is the faculty of the mind by which choice is made of a future action determined upon. In willing, a man has the purpose of action in view, and his will is the cause of the action, else he would be a mere machine or automation. If I take a gun and shoot another man, the will worked before the hand did. The purpose was before the act. But if I am held by another man, and a gun is placed in my hand, and another hand moves my finger to pull the trigger, that is not my act, because I did not will or choose to do it. In that act, I was not responsible, but a mere machine or tool of another. In God, the will is the attribute by which he determines and executes future events. His will includes, quote, whatsoever comes to pass. Hence, everything that comes to pass is providential and not accidental, so far as God is concerned. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. The sparrow does not fall without the will of God. Webster defines providence as an event divinely ordained. Now, it is well known that events happen in sequence, that is, they are related in order of time, and one event is the cause of another event. So it seems evident that if some events are ordained, then all events are ordained. It is usual for men to distinguish events as providential and accidental. Even Christians are prone to classify their experience either as providential or accidental. They associate providence with good things and accident with evil things. Therefore, they speak of having an accident. The Rickenbacker party regarded their rescue at sea as providential, but the writer regards the whole of their experiences as providential. The fall of their plane into the sea was as much providential as was their rescue. We need to see God's will in our afflictions as well as in our blessings. Job was speaking of both when he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away." Job chapter 1, verse 21. And when his wife pleaded with him to curse God and die, he replied, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Job chapter 2, verse 10. And when he had lost all earthly comforts, seeing God's hand in it all, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job chapter 13, verse 15. The will of God includes the wicked actions of sinful men, but does not take away their blameworthiness. We may not see how this can be, but the Scriptures declare it, and we should believe it. The Scriptures were not written to confirm our reasoning, but rather to correct it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Concerning Jesus, him being delivered by the determinate counsel, that is, will, and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Acts chapter 2, verse 23. And on a later occasion he said that Herod and Pilate, the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel, that is, will, determined before. in the Greek, that is predestinated to be done. Acts chapter 4, verse 28. We may not be able to see how God can will or determine a sin without becoming the author of sin, but the fact remains that the greatest of all sins, the slaying of the Son of God, was divinely ordained. Distinctions in the will of God. Theologians have made many distinctions in the will of God. Some of them are false, others are vain and useless. But there is one distinction that is necessary, and which will prove helpful in rightly dividing the word of truth. This is that which distinguishes between God's decretive and His perceptive, or His will of purpose and His will of command. God's will of purpose is always done. His will of command is often left undone. God's will of purpose cannot be thwarted, for this would mean His dethronement. His will of command is often violated, for men are in rebellion against Him. If the human will is greater in power than the divine will, then of course this human rebellion will succeed and God will be dethroned. If human rebellion can overthrow the government of God, we have no supreme being at all. To further amplify the distinction between God's decretive and perceptive wills, we will consider each separately. God's will of purpose. Number one, it is eternal. God is not forming any new purposes, for His counsels are of old. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1. His purpose in Christ is said to be eternal. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. What is to be, will be. Therefore, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Acts chapter 15, verse 18. Secondly, it is effectual. God's will of purpose is always accomplished. God is not man that He should engage in wishful thinking. There are no mere wishes with Him which He cannot perform. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 27. For example, back in eternity, God willed or determined the death of His Son. And centuries after time began, we see Him controlling and directing the free actions of sinful men to bring this even to pass. Moreover, He predestinated and predicted the details, when, where, and how His Son should die. And so in the four Gospels, we are told this, and that that was done to Him, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Number three, it is immutable. God never changes His will of purpose. There are only two possible reasons for anybody changing His will. It must be either because he sees that what he purposed was not wise, or that he sees it cannot be accomplished. But neither of these reasons can apply to God. He was all-wise in planning and is all-powerful in performing. Prayer does not change God's will, but it does change things. Changes wrought by prayer are all within the circle of God's purposing will. To this end, the Spirit of God makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Answered prayer is made in the energy of the Holy Spirit. A man may pray without the Spirit and get what he asks for, but it would not be an answer to prayer. Two generals on opposing sides may pray for victory in the coming battle, but both could not be praying in the Holy Spirit, and it is possible that neither of them are. In all true prayer, the thought is implied or expressed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Listen to these words, "Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. O lead me by thine own right hand, choose out the path for me. I dare not choose my lot, I would not if I might. but choose thou for me, O my God, so shall I walk aright. Take thou my cup, and it, with joy or sorrow fill, as ever best to thee may seem. Choose thou my good and ill. Not mine the choice, in things of great or small. Be thou my guide, my guard, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. Number 4, God's will of purpose was the cause of our conversion. I am a converted or saved man. I have been born again. What is the explanation of this tremendous change? Back of every performance or action, there must be a will. Did I will myself into a new man? Did some other man effectually will my second birth? In John chapter 1 and verse 12, we are told that believers are given the right to become the children of God, and the following verse explains their faith in these words, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Saving faith does not originate with our parents, nor with ourselves, nor with some other man. It is the gift and work of God. James chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." God's will of command. Number 1, God's perceptive will refers to what he has described as our rule of thought and conduct. The will of God is expressed in all divine law. In Eden, it was God's will that determined what kind of law would be given to Adam and Eve. At Sinai, God did not consult Moses or the children of Israel about what laws they would be under. In a democracy, the people make their own laws through chosen representatives who serve in legislative halls. This gives rise to pressure groups and class legislation because men are selfish. They do not love their neighbors as themselves. But in our relation to God, we are not dealing with a democracy, but with a theocracy. In God's will of command, we have the sovereignty of authority. In God's will of purpose, we have the sovereignty of power. Number 2, it is God's will of command, and not his will of purpose, that men are responsible to perform. It was his will of purpose that Christ should be crucified, but it was not his will of command. In putting Jesus to death, men were fulfilling the purpose of God, but they were not obeying any command of God. There can be no sin in doing what God has commanded. Peter tells us that they put Christ to death with wicked hands. Therefore, they were not obeying a command of God. What God purposes is the determining factor. What he commands is our duty. It seems easy for men to see this distinction in everything except religion. A man who can see only one side of the truth will say, "If it is God's will or purpose to save me, he will save me. Therefore, I will sit down and do nothing about it." Now, the same man would not dare reason this way about other things. Concerning this year's crop, God's will of purpose determines the harvest, but his command is to plow and plant, cultivate and reap. God's will of purpose determines whether we live or die. James chapter 4, verse 15. But it is his will of command that we regard the laws of health. Nobody quits eating because he believes God's will of purpose determines whether he lives or dies. God's will of purpose will determine the outcome of this war, but it would be foolish to sit down and say, "If it is God's will, we will win. If not, we will lose. Therefore, let us strike and stop mining coal and producing steel." God's will of purpose determines the result of our witnessing for Christ. "In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but whatever the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. It is God's will of command that we sow beside all waters, to preach the gospel to every creature, and His will of purpose will take care of the results and make it accomplish what He pleases. It is God's will of purpose that determines whether I am saved or not. But it is folly to sit down and say that if I am one of the elect, I will be saved. Therefore, I need not take any interest in the matter. God's will of command is to repent and believe. And this is every man's responsibility. We are commanded to make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. We are commanded to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. The man who takes no interest in his soul and has no concern for his salvation, if he persist in this attitude, will surely land in the lake of fire, for he that believeth not shall be damned. Much of God's will of purpose belongs to His secret will, and secret things belong unto God. But what He has revealed and commanded belong to us. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
Well, the best.